Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Christmas is notoriously a season of cheer and joy and celebration, but for many it's a time of heaviness and regret or sorrow. Well, today we hope to encourage your heart by lifting your focus back to the Word of God and to the blessings of the season. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, the blessings of the season. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and we hope that you are walking through every step of this special holiday season with your eyes on Jesus Christ and your worship and affection looking towards Him. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study a series entitled The Blessings of the Season. We hope that if this is a time of sorrow or heaviness or hardship for you or those you love, we hope that today's message will lift your heart back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the promises of His Word. Today, the blessings of the season. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell can be heard on this station at this time every Monday through Friday, and we hope that you'll walk through God's Word with us even into the new year. You can find out more about Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to understand the majestic gift of Christmas. Here's Pastor Chappell.
Oftentimes when we read the Christmas story, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem's manger, and we see a picture of humility. We see God becoming man, and we see what really appears from the human perspective to be a very simple picture. A baby in a manger, Joseph and Mary. Sometimes we see the animals in the manger scene as well. And yet today we entitle the message, The Majestic Gift. Why is it that we would look at something so simple and refer to it as a majestic gift? Well, this morning I want you to join with me in getting the heavenly view of what was taking place when Jesus Christ came down to earth. You see, the Bible says in John 1 and verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, in heaven, from eternity past and on into the future, the Lord Jesus Christ is praised and worshiped as the Lamb of God, worshiped as the Son of God. And from heaven's perspective, a great and majestic event was taking place in Bethlehem that first Christmas morning. I want you to pick it up with me in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. And notice, if you will, first of all, the announcement of the angel. Notice the announcement is made, and there are four different characteristics of this announcement I want you to see this morning. First of all, notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Notice, if you would, this morning, this was a compelling event. Notice as the attention of these shepherds was drawn to the angel. This announcement was made to very common men. These men worked with the sheep there in the area of Bethlehem. Of course, an area known for this particular type of agriculture and activity. And no doubt it was a peaceful night. No doubt it was a night when they were just going through the motions of work. But the Bible tells us that, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Here we see a compelling event in the life of these shepherds. One author said the shepherds were frowned upon by the highly religious because they were unable to keep the ceremonial law of cleansing, and that is true. These men were looked upon as the lower caste of society. These would not have been the men most likely to hear the news of the coming of a king, and yet the Lord tells us that the angel of the Lord came upon them. Someone said the announcement went first to the shepherds. They didn't ask God if he was sure he knew what he was doing. They did not question what was taking place. Had the angel gone to theologians, they would have first consulted their commentaries. Had the angel gone first to the elite, they would have looked around to see if anyone was watching before they paid attention. Had he gone to the successful, they would have first had to check their calendars to see if they had time for all of this. So the angel went to the shepherds, men who did not have a reputation to protect, or an axe to grind, or a ladder to climb. Men who didn't know enough to tell God that angels don't sing to sheep and that messiahs aren't found wrapped in rags and in sleeping in a feed trough. God chose common men to bring his majestic message to them. And God is still calling men and women who will simply put their faith in his message. It is a compelling event, a wonderful time in the lives of these shepherds. And it was made in a very startling way. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. I believe this perhaps was once again the angel Gabriel coming down. And for the first time in centuries, the glory of the Lord is returning to the earth. And it was an astounding moment for them. It was a moment where no doubt they would be shocked by what they saw on this particular occasion. Now, the glory of the Lord was not something that they were unaccustomed to in the Old Testament. There were many records of the glory of the Lord coming upon them. In your notes this morning in Exodus 16 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." And certainly the glory of the Lord was something to be welcomed, something that signified his presence with them. And so this was a compelling event in the lives of the shepherds. But notice, secondly, it was also a comforting promise that was given to them. In the moment of awe, in the moment of perhaps shock at the sight that they had seen, the Bible tells us in verse 10 that the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, those words were first uttered to Mary, and then they were uttered to Joseph. Now they are being uttered to the shepherds. Fear not. Let's say those two words together this morning. Fear not. Two of the words that stand out in the Christmas story. And certainly when we sing of peace on earth and goodwill toward men, one of the reasons is because of the promise of the Scripture and the challenge of the Scripture, which tells us, fear not. No matter what we're facing, and in this moment, though it was an awesome sight, a glorious sight, yet they needed to be calmed, and it was a comforting promise. But notice, thirdly, it was a comprehensive announcement that was made to them. The Bible says in verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, here we see a comprehensive announcement. We see, first of all, that there are good tidings about to be made. Now, I suppose, not knowing these shepherds real well, I suppose that all kinds of thoughts could have been running through their mind. They could have thought this was judgment day. How many of you think that perhaps if the angel of the Lord came upon you and the glory of the Lord was shining around about you, that it would be somewhat startling? I think about my good friend, Dr. David Gibbs, who was driving here from the Ontario airport a few years ago. His planes were late. He was driving about 1 o'clock in the morning. He was coming across 138, just kind of minding his own business, probably a little bit sleepy as he drove. And suddenly, there was a helicopter with a light from heaven shining right on his car. And turned out he was going a little too fast, and I think it was a law enforcement officer of some type put a light. He said, "Brother Chappell, I thought it was the rapture. I thought there was something. Then I thought it was a UFO." He didn't know what it was. It just scared him. And I suppose that if you and I were the shepherds and suddenly the angel of the Lord came and the glory of the Lord is shining round about, it might really take just a moment of pause for us to hear those words, "Fear not." And then to hear the words, "For I bring to you good tidings." Now, if I would have been one of the shepherds, I would have went, Oh, good. It's good tidings. It's not judgment coming down. It's not a UFO. It's not something strange, but there's some good news that's about to be given. Look at that word there, if you would, in verse number 10. For I bring you good tidings of great joy. How many of you would agree with me this morning that God coming down to express His love to us is good tidings of great joy? Now, I read from a newspaper this past week that Grumpy, one of the seven dwarves, was one of the first in line to return a mood ring he received as a Christmas gift from Snow White. He complained to the customer service that the thing was defective because it never changed colors, not even once. And I think some people's negative disposition is relentlessly predictable, don't you? It's just kind of the way they are all of the time, whether it's Grumpy or whether it's someone in your family. But I believe this, if you and I truly believe what the message is telling us this morning, then we have good tidings today. We have something to rejoice about, something to be thankful for. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, the good tidings of salvation were being announced, and here the angels were the recipients, are the messengers, and the shepherds the recipients of this good news. But notice what it says in verse 10 also. It says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Notice the next phrase, which shall be to all people. To all people. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful today the Bible says that this message was not just for some people, but this message was a message for all people. And every one of us should be thankful for that today, that God did not bring His message to the elite or to a particular nationality, but this promise of Christ was a promise that was made, a message that was given for all people. Warren Buffett, who is one of the richest men in the world and perhaps one of the wisest investors in our nation, he has an estimated net worth somewhere around $50 billion, give or take a few billion. I'm not exactly sure. But a few years ago, Buffett decided to help raise money for his charitable foundation. And so as he was in the process of thinking through how to raise that money for the foundation, he decided that he would do an online auction, and his auction was this: the highest bidder could have lunch with him. The highest bidder could have lunch with Warren Buffett. Now, for us sitting here this morning, we're thinking, well, you know, maybe $1,000 would be a high bid, something like that. And so the bid went on, and the online auctioneer took the bids. The high bid, the winning bid, was $351,000. $351,000 was the price of access to lunch with Warren Buffett. How many of you are thankful that when the King of Kings made his announcement, he said, by the way, this is for all people. This is not for the one that gets the highest bid, but this is for everyone who comes to me. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a comprehensive announcement, the angel says. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. And thank God that since Jesus Christ came, this message has gone from continent to continent, nation to nation, from household to household, the rich, the poor, every socioeconomic background, every cultural background. God's word is spreading across this world today. It's a comprehensive announcement. Then I want you to see here, it is a completed prophecy. It is a completed prophecy. In verse number 11, we see the prophecy fulfilled. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, Christ is identified in this prophecy in three different ways. I want you to see this very quickly. First, we see the Messiah's prophecy in the location that is fulfilled. The location that is fulfilled. It is fulfilled where it says the city of David or Bethlehem. This was prophesied in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And so the location was fulfilled according to the prophecy. Secondly, we see in the word Savior that the purpose of Christ's coming is fulfilled. The promise of a Savior to Israel, as well as to all the world, was the promise that was given. And verse 11 declares, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And then notice it says in verse 11, "Which is Christ the Lord." Christ the Lord, the person that fulfilled this prophecy, was none other than Christ the Lord. And here we see the term Christ the Lord reminding us that he is the anointed one that has come down for the purpose of saving the world. Colossians 2 and verse 9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And so the essence of the announcement, "For unto you a Savior is born." The announcement of the angel was a majestic announcement concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And the Bible says in Acts 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved." It was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that was announced by the angel. But notice secondly with me this morning, not only the announcement of the angel, but notice the adoration of the heavenly host. It's as if the angelic choirs join in now with an army of angels announcing that Jesus Christ is born. Notice in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now on earth, a few common shepherds. On earth, Mary and Joseph surrounded by some angels, by some animals, and just a humble sight. But the heavens are now declaring that what was happening here was truly a majestic event, truly a great life-changing, world-changing event was about to take place and had just taken place. Here we see the description of the host in verse 13, and the Bible speaks of them. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying..." Notice the description of this host, if you would. They are described as a multitude, an army of angels singing praise to God. And this multitude of heavenly hosts had now descended from on high to honor and praise the Prince of Peace and to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, they will be singing praise to him throughout all of eternity. Sometimes I get around Christians and they don't like to sing or they don't like to say amen. Did you know you're going to do both up in heaven? I mean, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just going to kind of come out, folks, and we're going to want to sing and we're going to want to agree a lot. And you might as well get in the habit of that on planet Earth. Amen. Just thanking God for what he's done and agreeing with God. And the Bible says that in Revelation 5 and verse 11, as John the Revelator prophesied, he said, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." They're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." And so as it was when Jesus came down to Bethlehem, they were singing and praising God, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and for all of eternity, worthy is the Lamb that was slain." We had a few nights ago in this Christmas season, the college choir sang a beautiful medley of songs for us on a Wednesday night. And as they came down to the end of their Christmas presentation, they began to sing the Hallelujah Chorus, Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. And when they sing that chorus, it's the tradition of those who hear the chorus to stand and to give reverence as the song is sung. And so our congregation stood, and someone asked me, "What's the history of that?" And I did a little checking to make sure on the tradition of standing, but it goes all the way back to the very first performance of Handel's Messiah as it was presented in London. And as it was presented before a royal audience, the music was building and building, and Christ was being honored and glorified. And King George II was there. And as the first notes of the triumphant Hallelujah chorus rang out, and as the thought of the words and the thought behind this great chorus were resonating in the heart of the king himself stood in honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and in honor to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And ladies and gentlemen, if the king were to walk in or the queen from England walk in today, I believe it may be protocol for us to stand in her honor. But do you understand that when the king heard the Messiah sung, his response was to stand in honor because he recognized the one that was being lifted up was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Hallelujah chorus places Christ as the King of Kings. And so the description of the host, glory to God in the highest, he says. And what a tremendous, tremendous description and praise that is. But notice the declaration in particular in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We see this large host of angels as they begin singing and specifically singing glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now back in 27 BC, the Roman government had made a peace treaty, if you will, or a Roman peace. It was called Pax Romana. And this was their edict that the world would have peace. Now the world was going to have peace their way under the fist of iron of the Romans. But now this kind of peace was the inner peace that came by the presence of God in someone's life. And when men become reconciled to God, though they have sinned, yet through God's presence and because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away and we can have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Listen, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that the host of angels said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, is because they knew that Jesus Christ, first, was the King of Kings. Secondly, he was the giver of peace, the forgiver of sin, and the one who would provide an eternal peace for all who believe. And so this was why the heavenly host was adoring him and lauding him and praising him, because he came to give peace. And the question is, do you have that peace this morning? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? Many are turning here and there, and many are trusting in themselves or in nothing at all. But my friends, this season must cause every one of us to ponder, who is this babe laying in the manger? Is he, after all, who the angels said he was? Is he who the Bible says he is? And the answer is yes. He is the giver of peace. He is the Son of God.
Friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the blessings of this Christmas season. And probably the greatest blessing of all would be for you to receive God's gift to you. Lots of gift giving during this time of year, but the greatest gift that you could ever receive is the gift of a Savior through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To recognize what He did for you on the cross, to lay aside everything that you're trusting, and to trust Him alone as your Savior. Friend, we invite you to bow your head and heart and make this simple decision of faith. Invite Jesus Christ into your life right now to be your Savior. It's a decision you will never regret. You can find out more about this decision and more about the ministry of Paul Chappell and Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org or when you call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And you can visit us online and find many resources for your own spiritual growth when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chappell's books and other resources. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional that will come to your inbox, your email inbox every day in the new year. It will help you read through your Bible and walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, you're invited to join Dr. Chapel, our guest speakers, and many Christian friends from around the country for the beautiful Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. You'll enjoy not only great preaching from the Word of God, you'll enjoy the Christian fellowship, the wonderful music, and the incredible beauty and grandeur of God's creation as seen from on board a wonderful cruise ship through Alaska's Inside Passage. Again, the ship departs August 9th through the 16th, 2014. For more information, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.